Okay, welcome to another great episode of A Very Good Time. I'm your host, Shane Pithwa.
And Larry Wiggins.
And we're here back again. This time, we're actually in the Comic Sound Studios. I know, we actually got real studios for this thing. Can you believe
boy,
it?
Boy, listen to that microphone.
Yeah, that's all your money at work. So yeah, if you guys want to contribute to the show, go to comicsound.podomatic.com. And you can even donate to us to, you know... Basically, it's great because, like, unlike most charities, you donate to them and you don't see any return back from them.
Pretty much.
But from us, you do see a return in quality. Better sound quality, better podcast, and probably we can do it more often if we get some more money going, you know? Although, I think once a week is good enough, you know?
I quit my job.
Yeah, that'd be nice, yeah. Professional podcasters where they actually get paid, yeah. It's a rare, rare instance, but, you know, it might just work out. And, you know, I mean, the podcast kind of leads to other things, too. I mean, you know, you've got your stand-up career
yeah,
going.
Yeah, it's pretty,
you know?
It's booming, kind of, sort of. So
yeah,
okay.
I went to that one show you did at Tickle's Comedy Club, and you actually were very good. I mean, four or five comics we saw,
thank you
were very good. You beat out most of them, you know?
Oh, thank
you. I think maybe one guy who was about equivalent to you or maybe just a little bit lower than you in quality, but the other guys, nothing compared to you, you know?
it was a great experience. And then I got asked to do a show on Saturday for like a lot of people that are in the Narcotics Anonymous.
Yeah.
And like
the episode of
joke I put out there was I got on stage and I started cursing and I stopped and I was like, oh, is it cool to use profanity on the stage? And everybody was like, oh, yeah. And then after everybody calmed down, I was like, because I thought we were trying to keep it clean in here.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, oh, he used a reference to like being drug addicts.
Yeah.
And everybody just started laughing. And then I just went into my set. Yeah. And I like bombed one joke. But other than that, it was okay.
It'd be funny if you're like, it's okay if I fucking swear in this place. I don't want to fucking offend anybody.
Like, I went all out. I went everywhere. And everybody liked it. A lot of people. A lot of girls. Like, nice. I didn't know that girls that used to do drugs are hot.
I know,
like,
right?
You know, they're super hot.
Yeah, yeah. But you got to be careful. They might have been prostitutes at one point,
probably,
you know?
Probably.
So, yeah, that seems like a red flag
in
most cases.
I just looked and it was ridiculous because I was like, oh. And then this other comedian got on stage. He was doing pretty good. He was a headliner.
Yeah.
And he went on just too long. Like, if he would have cut it down... Mm. It would have been better, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of one of those times you need that wrap it up, light up box,
you know,
to show wrap it up.
Dude, he was on the stage, and I went with a friend of mine, Andrew.
Yeah.
He's trying to be a stand up comedian as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna be on stage just for a couple of minutes, probably like a minute or two." And Andrew pulls out his phone and puts the stopwatch on him. The stopwatch, and my friend was like, "Yes, it's a stopwatch. You need to hurry up. You need to hurry up. And then I tried to talk to the guy at the end, but he was like all pissed off. Like, I bumped so hard. I was like, no, you didn't. The first 30 minutes, like, if you're a comedian and you bomb, you shit goes crazy.
Bombing is a regular night. That's
I know.
The regular night. It's just nothing out of the ordinary, really.
Yeah, it was like, why are you so pissed off? I was like, for real. He was just like pissed. I was like, I bombed. And I'm like, dude, you did a good show. Don't worry about it. He was like, no.
Yeah. I think really the only way to really better yourself with stand-up is to really prepare more. You know, the more comfortable you are with your material, the better you'll do it. Same thing with giving a speech, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you're comfortable
thing.
With the material, because, I mean, there's some people who just read off their paper. Hello, my name is Shane, and I want to talk to you about deers, you know?
Yeah.
There's those guys.
That's basically what he ended up doing. Like, he did a 30-minute set of, like, comfortable material, and then after that, he just brought his joke book out and just, like, randomly going to all kinds of spots. And he had a perfect story for the 30 minutes that he was on stage at the beginning. He should have just stuck with that and been like, that's my headliner. Bam, I'm out.
Yeah, I like the guys who go on stage with their book and they're like reading their jokes and they're like, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's him. That was him.
All right, well, tell us the damn joke. You know?
he's been doing this like amateurly, like an amateur professional, I guess. You know,
well, everyone's an amateur if you haven't heard of them.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And then, like, he's been doing it for a while now. Like, for him to pull out the book, is like, what? You know?
Yeah.
What? It's like, thank God I didn't pay for this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But there was this other, like, comic, this black comic. He should have been the headliner.
Yeah.
10 minutes, that's all he needed.
Yeah.
10 minutes and he won the crowd over. His name is Keith Ashton. If you guys, I remembered him because he just stood out to me out of everybody. Out of everybody. Pat Laborio, too. He was one of the comics that was there, too. He's been doing a lot of shows. That he's actually the guy that called me to, like, do the show. Nice. Called my friend to call me to do the show. I was pretty happy about that.
How about those who were at the sober house?
Oh, my God.
You said they were all into you?
Dude, it was one point where the guy, like, the last comic, the headliner, he just kept coming up, like, referring to me, like, okay, black guy, so what's your drug of choice? And I was like...
Life.
I was like, I really didn't do it. I was one of the comics. Yeah. I had a set. He was like, oh, you were the other black guy that did a show. I'm sorry, man. So where are you from? And then I was like, I'm from Alabama originally. And then all these girls was like, oh, Alabama? And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, oh, my God, you were so funny. I was like, oh, thank you. I was like, thank you. You know, and all these women, older women were talking to me. Like, a lot of hot women. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
They probably stopped when they knew they were probably going to get to that point in their life when they were just going to be hags. Like, no, I'm not doing this.
Yeah. They quit pre-hag.
Quit pre-hag.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's a shame when you see, like, really beautiful people get, like, strung out on meth. It's like, damn, it had a lot of potential there.
I know. This one comedian, the Pat Laborio dude, he'll tell you. It's like, yeah, I was going up in life, and then I just went down. Yeah. I went down. But he's coming back up. So it's pretty good. He's doing a lot of shows, headlining, like, 2 or 3 shows a week now. So it was like freaking nice. He's hard working.
The thing about, like, beautiful people is, like, even if you're dumb, beautiful people will be successful.
Straight up.
I mean, they'll find a way. Because, like, they even did a test on that. They kind of, you know, I think it was one of those, you know, news journalism type things, you know,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, you know, let's gotcha, basically, you know. And so what they did was they sent out 2 people on an interview, same resume, same qualifications, but of course the good-looking guy got hired like 10 times out of 10, you know, same qualifications.
It's easy on the eyes for some people. Like, oh,
it's true. I mean,
person.
If you're going for any really position, and, you know, most positions you don't really need to be that smart in, but you'll get ahead by just being good-looking, you
pretty
know?
Pretty much.
And so, like, really, your best asset isn't really your brain, it's your looks, you know?
Especially in America. Shallow people. We're shallow people.
Unless you're a really good talker and you can convince somebody otherwise that, mm-hmm. you know, your ugly face deserves that job, you know?
Pretty much.
then you're going to have a tougher time. But, yeah, beautiful people, man, you got it made, you know?
You should be happy. They make shows about beautiful people all the time.
Yeah.
And people love watching it.
Beautiful dumb people.
I know,
especially.
Beautiful dumb people.
You ever seen The Bachelor? That guy on there, he was retarded.
Fuck, man.
He was dumb as fuck. But he was, like, really good looking. Like, he could have been in a Wrangler ad, you
and
know,
no
for jeans.
And the girl's like, oh, it's okay. He's fucking hot.
Yeah.
He's fucking hot. It's okay.
Oh, yeah. He was dumb as a brick. Every time he opens his mouth, he actually sounded a lot like Andy from Parks and Recreation. Just, like, dumb,
man.
You know? Golden Retriever dumb, man. You know? It's like, oh, my God. It's like, I'm sure most of the women caught on because business professionals or something, you know, real estate agents or whatever, you know, MILF women do, you know, to make a living selling Mary Kay beauty products or something like that, you know?
Yeah. What is it, Avalon or something?
Oh, Avon.
Avon.
Yeah.
Avon.
You ever seen those cars that the women drive? They'll give them, like, it's like if they're one of the top sellers, Avon will give them a car, like a Cadillac STS or something.
An
Escalade.
Yeah.
And then there'll be this weird light pink, glittery pink color on it.
Yeah.
With a big Avon label on the side. It's like, what? Why the fuck are you driving that? Like, I wouldn't buy anything from anyone who's driving a pink Cadillac.
I know.
With Avon on the side.
And they just look so professional, too. They come to your house. Some of them don't. Some of them look like trash.
Yeah.
I was like, one woman came up to my house when I was home with my mom. Hair was just everywhere. She's like, would you like to buy beauty products? Like, how are you going to sell beauty products when you look like shit?
It's like, I see they're working well for you, you know? Wow. Like, I almost thought you were a horrible, ugly person before you came to the door, but thank God for the Avon products are really resuscitating your looks, you know?
It's like, whoa, okay, woman. Okay, pretty good. Pretty, all right.
Yeah, otherwise I would have thought you'd been bludgeoned to death.
I know.
Man.
It's freaking... Freaking crazy.
You know the crazy thing? I saw this this one video on YouTube. It was like sort of developments in medical science and everything. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about burn victims. And you know, when someone gets badly burned, they kind of usually have to do skin grafts. You know, yeah. They'll take it from your thighs or someplace that they don't normally see. And then, you know, it kind of heals up okay, but you can tell they've been burned. You can tell, yeah. And this one guy, he was up there, looked like perfectly normal guy. He said, what happened was I was at a bonfire and some guy threw a cup of gasoline in the fire. Because that guy's an asshole, you know, obviously.
What?
Or a drunk idiot, you know. He goes, oh, I want to make a fireball. It's like, yeah, well, that doesn't work if people are close by the fire. So that guy, like, got his whole, like, half of his face burned, you know, his neck, his right arm, you know, kind of basically like Two-Face, you know, got burned like that, you know. Not as badly burned as that, but second-degree burns, you know.
Still.
Where it's noticeable. And what happened was they told him, you might be a candidate for this new treatment process that this scientist had come up with. And basically, it's like this little gun. It's sort of looks like the kind of like a tattoo gun, you know.
Yeah,
kind of like you just spray like that. And basically what he does is he sprays skin cells on you that's made manufactured from your own stem cells, you know. And it sort of sprays onto you like a sort of like a purplish liquid, basically.
What?
And what happens is it solidifies together. It kind of becomes like a cobweb. You know, it starts off little specks, and then it gets closer and closer, becomes like a web, and then gets more and more solidified and becomes actual skin. And the guy looked like like no one had even touched him. He looked like a normal guy. Like,
wow.
You know, if he told you I got half my face burned off, you would have no way. You did not get burned. Come on, look at you.
Did they have any before pictures?
Yeah. Before, well, they didn't have one specifically of him, but they showed you exactly what a second degree burn looked like, you know, on someone like him. And he looked perfect. Like, you could
flawless.
Not tell. Like, not even like a paper cut type scar on him. Like, nothing on him. Like, he was perfectly healthy. And it was, like, unbelievable. And they said, you know, it was like, he said it took maybe about an hour or so for them to spray it on, and he said in about like a week or so he was all healed.
Wow, the
completely
technological
healed.
Advances of
I know, it was ridiculous. No scarring
wow.
at all.
Wow.
And that was really phenomenal. It's like we really are living in a world of sci-fi
we
right
should
now.
Be, we should be proud. We should be proud to be living right now.
Yeah, people 30 years ago would say we're insane if we would say we came up with this. They'd be like, you're insane. That's no way.
What, you're playing God.
Even 10 years ago, you know? Like freaking
crazy.
Apple just came out with the iPhone 4S, and that one's got an 8-megapixel camera on it.
Oh, man,
like my point-and-shoot camera,
yeah,
I think that's maybe 3 to 5 megapixels, you know?
And sometimes 3.5.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah. I mean, if you had told people even 10 years ago, you're going to have an 8-megapixel camera on your phone, and it'll fit in your
people
pocket.
People look at you like, what the
That heck? Would be unbelievable.
That's awesome.
Everything,
like, man, we were living in a great age.
Yeah, I actually pre-ordered that.
Oh, nice,
I know,
nice. Super, when is it coming?
October 14th to the 21st. You said 14th most likely, 21st the latest, you know?
Did you have to pay, like, full retail price for it? Or,
It was, like, $300 because I got the 32-gigabyte one, you know?
It was $300?
Yeah.
What?
It was kind of the same price as my iPod Touch, you know?
And that's retail price.
Well, that's the Verizon price. That's the normal price because Apple doesn't really do sales or discounts on their stuff, you know?
Okay. Because so I was thinking, like, was it like a renewing? Like,
sort of. It was the upgrade price.
Okay.
Because I need to upgrade, and I'd been putting it off because I was waiting for the iPhone 5, you know?
Yeah.
So when this one came out, I was like, yeah, okay, sure, I'll do it. Because I don't want to wait another year and a half or so, you know, for the new iPhone 5 to come out. Because I don't know.
Can you believe that, Steve Jobs?
I know, Steve Jobs died. The guy practically invented the computer.
Everything
we use today, even podcasting alone, would be nowhere without his technological advancements. I mean, we would have eventually gotten there, but it would have taken us at least another 10 years to get there.
I know, man.
If not for him.
We should, like, take a moment of silence for Steve Jobs.
Although
like,
it was about a week ago. So
I know it was
about
a week ago, but still, you know.
Well, we can use whatever dead pauses we have in our podcast as our moment of silence. We can just assign that one as our moment of silence, you know? Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, man. You know, I got Tristan watching Breaking Bad now.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he says it's a phenomenally fucked up show, you know?
Everybody has been saying that. Like, once you got me hooked, I've been spreading like wildfire, man.
Yeah.
Everybody. I'm like, dude, if you want to see a show that will blow your socks off, Breaking Bad.
That is a show. I mean, it like transcends television. It's not even just pure entertainment alone, you know?
Dude, it's everything.
Yeah. I mean, we are lucky to have a show
like
that.
I know. It's like freaking comedy.
It's got the
thriller, suspense, everything.
It's like the duo of, you know, Walter White and Jesse Pinkman together. They just work so well off each other, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy. The old, like, responsible guy meets this young
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
Guy,
yeah, the kid
and then
doesn't
just,
give
like,
a fuck.
Work Man, it's crazy. Yeah,
even in the beginning episode, remember he was talking about like flash to cook in? He's like, no, I use that one. He's like, you wouldn't use this one. You'd use this boiling flask.
Yeah.
It's like, are you an idiot? It's like you're the idiot coming up with all this boiling flash shit.
It's like, your shit's not going to be good, man.
Yeah, I know. It's like they just had their season finale and they wrapped up their fourth season. Mm-hmm. And oh my God. It was amazing.
I still have to see the fourth season.
Oh,
man.
My God. What season are you on? Season two?
Yeah.
Right now? Oh, yeah. Man. Third season, they make this dude named Gus, and he's like, he's a badass. Not in the way Tuco was a badass, you know?
Tuco is ridiculous.
Tuco is, oh, my God.
If I met somebody like that, I would run. I would go back to Alabama if I met somebody here like that.
That guy is like a powder keg waiting to explode.
Straight up.
Oh, man. Did you get to that episode where that one guy gets crushed in the junkyard, you know?
Oh,
where
yeah.
They're disposing the body and like the whole tire cars fell on him? Oh. Fuck. That was some fucked up shit.
Dude.
Fucking Tuco beat a guy to death with his fists, you know?
Dude, fuck. Like, I was like, meth is a powerful drug. It's a hell of shit.
Fuck, when he takes it, he's like, ah, that's the shit, man.
Just like jumping around. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
I know, right? He's like, you're definitely not mellowing out with the meth.
I know, like, shit. Everybody that hits it. And then like, everybody snorts it in there. Fuck. Like, nobody, like, injects it in there.
I know.
And it's like instant. There's an instant bump, and you're like, turn into the Incredible Hulk.
There's later episodes where they actually go inside like houses of meth addicts, you know, and it is fucked up. Like there's just shit everywhere, just trash. It's dirty as shit because they don't care about anything except meth. Like even food, you know,
man,
nothing.
And I bet you Walter probably getting like a, he's like, man, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm encouraging this to these people.
Not even. It's crazy because, like, you know, it's like basically Walter, he's turning from, you know, a chemistry teacher into, high school geeky chemistry teacher into freaking Scarface.
I know. Overnight. It was overnight. It just happened.
I know.
God. And he had to change it, but it's like...
You see the transformation even in the first episode,
episode when you see him, like, in the Winnebago, you're like, whoa, this guy's serious. He's freaking serious.
It's like you see that something has changed inside him. You know, even when he's like fucking his wife at the end of the episode, she's like, oh my God, is that you?
Is that you, Walter? Oh God.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. It's like he's a changed man after that, you know?
It's like, wow. It's
you can definitely see it in his character.
Like every time you like something like that happens, though,
you
get pushed on edge. Like, you try to provide for your family. I can see where you're probably coming from, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, you do the right thing all your life, and you still...
Yeah.
Shit still happens, like, always.
Because, I mean, it really does pose a lot of moral questions. Like, what would you do if you had 2 years to live, you know? Or a year or so to live? You know, what do? And it's like, you just stop giving a fuck about, your social mores, everything like that. You just, like...
He's like, I'm dying anyways, fuck it.
He's like, it's like, I can get mixed up with Tuco and all that. It's like, I'm dead next year anyways, you know? It's like, I don't have a good timeline going, you know? Like, I don't have a lot to look forward to.
As long as I have money for my family to leave them something at the end, it's okay. And that's basically...
And, he's okay, even if the whole process of him cooking meth destroys his family, you know? He just wants to know that they're provided for, you know?
Yeah, and that's
at the least.
That's how it is. It's like the American dream, but a different kind of way.
You
know?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it in concept compared to other television shows, like I was watching Pilot Season, basically, you know, right now is Pilot Season, or, you know, the fall, all the new fall lineup of shows that come out, and most of them are pretty awful, you know? It's like, because they try so hard to make everybody super likable, but, you know, the most likable people are really uninteresting. Like, think of Ned Flanders, the character Ned Flanders.
Yeah.
He's really not interesting.
Yeah, he is.
He's, like, boring as hell because he's so nice and likable and everyone loves him, you know? That's
and
why
it's just
funny.
Because him and Homer,
they're polar opposites.
Straight up.
I mean, if you look at Homer Simpson, he's an asshole, basically. He's reckless, irresponsible.
And I like him more than I like Flanders all the
time.
He's
fun to watch, you know? And you could tell that, you know, he still loves his family, but he's just doing what he thinks is best, you know? And that's what makes his character so much more interesting than most of the characters you see on TV. Like, I was watching Terra Nova, you know, that one show about the dinosaurs.
I've seen that.
Oh, my God.
Everyone's like, oh, this is going to be the best show of the year.
I mean, sci-fi original movies are better than that.
I know. It looked like shit.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're kind of going for the four-quadrant appeal. You know, they're going for old people, young people. Basically, they want the whole family to tune in.
But like, it looks like a what was it? Not it's Journey like, to the Center of the
like
Earth.
It's like Avatar meets Jurassic Park, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
It's sort of like their whole thing was they go back in time because Earth is so shitty, so they go back to dinosaur age. So I thought, wait a minute, aren't they going to fuck up the rest of history if they go back to the time of the dinosaurs? But then they explained it. They're in a different sort of timeline, basically, you know? So they're it's sort of like an alternate universe type thing, like a what if. Basically, so instead of like say this is the future and this is the past, you know, instead of going back here, they go a diagonal to another past, you know,
to a parallel universe type
thing. It's sort of like a parallel Earth, you know, so they can start up their civilization
there
back in time, you know. And like the whole time I was watching this, because they've got mega facilities and they're just like poor, how do they pay for all this shit? Who pays for all this technological shit so people can survive in the age of dinosaurs, you know? And like even like the air isn't really breathable, so they have to have masks, you know, to get accustomed to it, or sort of, you know.
What?
I don't know. They don't really explain how you get used to the whole oxygen, you know. They make them drink weird milk, say, oh, you need the enzymes and proteins that isn't found in here. But it's like, what about the fucking air? You know, it's so dense. I mean, so dense that dinosaurs are able to live, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like anything, you know, smaller than that, you're gonna have trouble breathing with all that oxygen, you know.
That's crazy.
It's like they really don't think about that. And then, of course, the funniest thing I found was like the because the future's so shitty, they've made a law so you can only have 2 children and no more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so then this family that the whole show's based around, they have 3 kids, you know, which is weird because like the father is a police officer, so you'd think he'd be concerned. Because like I was wondering, it's like if you have 2 kids, why do you really need a third, you know?
You really don't.
No, it's like you get one, that's good. You get 2 because, you know, to keep the other one happy and, you know, have them something to play with and all that. But you really don't need 3. So he has 3 kids. So then he gets put in jail for 2 years. He breaks out so he can travel back in time with his family so they can go through this time portal to go back. Because she got the call because she's like a doctor, so they need her back there. So she got the call to go back there. She's like, I'm going back. So here, she gives him like a laser knife to cut out of the jail, you know? And so he just cuts through the bars, basically, to get out.
What's going on right now? And, I'm like, I'm not into this right now.
Yeah, and then, like, the teenage son, like, you know, the father's telling him, is like, you know, tell him what to do. He's like, you can't just come back and tell me what to do now. It's like, it's only been 2 fucking years, you know?
The cliche saying.
Yeah, I know, it's so cliche. It's like, do you really just forget about your whole dad, you know, being
like,
able to tell you what to do?
Yeah,
it's like, I'm 16 now, you can't tell me what to do. It's like, fuck off, son. You wouldn't even be back here in the prehistoric time if it weren't for your parents, you know?
And you wouldn't even be alive.
Yeah, yeah. You'd still be, like, just breathing all the shitty, smoggy earth on planet Earth, you know, still. And it's like, I remember my dad, he took a year off to go work in England. And when he came back, I wasn't like, you can't tell me what to do, Dad, you know? It's like, that's completely insane, you
know? I
know.
I was like, fuck you, man.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
Golly,
yeah.
Kids these days, man.
Yeah, yeah. And then he has to reconnect with his youngest kid. And it's funny because they sneak the youngest kid back in time, you know? Because they're basically not supposed to have 3 kids, you know? Mm-hmm. So what the mom does... Or what they do is they hide the kid in the backpack and then go through the time portal.
What kind
portal.
Of backpack is this?
I don't know. It was a pretty big backpack. I was like, why do they have in that backpack? And they reveal it's like a 7-year-old girl, you know?
And she's like,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. She's got a little, like, a breather oxygen mask. So,
she's,
you know,
like,
she
hatching
can
out
survive.
Of the backpack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's funny because they were about to stab the backpack. They're like, what's in this backpack? And they're like, no, it's a kid.
What
you know? So then there's like, fuck, man. Can't kill the kid now, you know? Not that I was a kid, but yeah, it was pretty bad. And then I saw Pan Am, and that was like, it was like a low-rent Mad Men, basically. You know,
it's like
a watered-down Mad Men. It's all about, because I didn't realize this at the time, but my brother told me that Pan Am, at the time when it first came out, it was the first airline that was doing international flights. So that was the first time everyone was really able to go places, you know. So that's why the job for the stewardess is so revolutionary at that time, because they're, you know, women who get to travel all over, you know, when women back then were kind of like, you know, getting married when they're 20 or something, you know, to
like
good men and
citizens.
All that. Yeah, yeah, kind of, yeah. So it's basically all about that. But there wasn't enough interesting stuff to keep me tuned in.
Yeah.
You know, because it wasn't as good as Mad Men.
Yeah.
You know? There's no doubt about it.
Mad
it's like
Man.
They keep trying
Mad
to do the 60s
shows. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, if you have one show that's doing it, don't kill it. Don't kill that fad.
Yeah.
You will kill
that
fad if you, like, try to keep making shows.
When Lost first came out, they did that as well. They came out with 4 different Losts, you know, and they're all shitty. It was all about alien invasion or something strange, or, you know, they tried that with that show, The Event, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. When The Event came out and they weren't telling anybody what the actual event is or what the show's about, it's like, fuck you. I'm not going to tune in to find out what it is. You better tell me what it's about. Otherwise, I'm not tuning in, you know? It doesn't work the other way.
They're trying to do the Lost, Lost way. It's like, everybody that I know has seen it, because I really didn't get
I watched like part of an episode and I was like, fuck this.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
Basically what I did. Yeah. I was like thinking about, it was on Netflix. Like, I was thinking about watching it. Yeah. I was like, I don't
it's like stuff
like
happens, but you don't get to find out. I was like, oh my God, she's gone. What happened? You know? And it's like, what the fuck is going on? You know, what is this event? You know? And it's like, no. It's nobody tuned in for the same reason I did, because nobody wanted to invest into a show that they don't know what it's about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, why would you do that?
Then
you
know? Ends up getting canceled. And then it's like all that money wasted.
Yeah.
You know, all that money is wasted.
Yeah.
It's aggravating. I was watching this show called Flash Forward. I don't know if you've seen it.
Oh, yeah. I remember
that.
That one had a promising pilot,
but
then it fizzled out.
Like a crazy good pilot. Like the first couple of episodes, too.
Yeah.
Like after that was good, and then I just stopped watching it. I couldn't watch it anymore. I was like, fuck.
Yeah. It seemed like a show that wanted to do Lost, you know, basically.
Yeah,
they wanted to make another Lost, and so that's what they decided to do.
ABC Network.
Yeah. What's it? Seth MacFarlane guest starred on a couple episodes of that.
Oh,
it was weird. He was just like playing. He was just acting on there.
Whoa, Seth MacFarlane. Oh,
yeah. And that show did have a promising cast.
Yeah, it had a promising cast. Promising for the first episode, I was like,
yeah,
shit, this looks good. Second episode, what? Third episode, oh my God. Fourth episode, just lost.
I know Terra Nova. Their pilot, it was like an hour and a half long, and it cost them about $20 million to make that. How do you spend that much on a pilot? Like, they make hour and a half long movies on sci-fi that don't cost that much, you know?
All that funky looking CG, too.
The dinosaurs weren't that good. They weren't that convincing.
They look ridiculous.
It's a problem because when they make shows like that, which are all bright and sunny, and they're not dark, like, thematically, they make everything really bright. So then when you see CG that's really bright and well lit, it doesn't look good.
It looks like something you see. What it looked like to me was like something I see in Beast Wars or something.
Beast Wars or a sci-fi original, you know? But it's like Jurassic Park, they did dinosaurs in the dark, so you can hide a lot of the detail by just having it be dark there. But this one is all blue screen and green screen and all that shit, you know?
Can't do that now.
Yeah. You know, I read an article on crack.com about visual effects, and they said that there's a lot of actually shitty jobs that people have to do in order to give you the big budget special effects. Like, there's a guy that they hire called a rotoscope artist, and what he does is basically, you know, have you ever used Photoshop before?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know when you're photoshopping somebody out of a background, you know, you have to kind of trace around their hair, you know, to make sure it's really not. There's a guy who has to do that for every single frame of film.
Fucking ass.
Yeah, 24 frames per second for Green Lantern or something. Well, probably not much. Because what studios are doing now is
that's
they've
meticulous.
Found... Oh, yeah, meticulous and boring as hell. And, you know, because a lot of studios have found that there's so many visual effects shops opening up that they can really give their jobs to the lowest bidder. You know, whoever will do it for cheapest and fastest, they'll give it to you. And, you know,
fucking scabs.
Yeah. And basically, these visual effects shops, they're taking on jobs they can't really do within a complete time. So everyone's working overtime, you know, 24 hours a day, basically, to
nobody
get Green
really
Lantern
gives
to the
a
screen.
Fuck too.
You know, and it all kind of started with War of the Worlds when that first came out, because that one had basically like a 6-month shooting period of production. And so what happened was Steven Spielberg, he shot all the visual effects stuff first in the first 3 months, and then gave that to the CG artist to work with, you know? And then the second half of the next 3 months, he did all the dialogue and character building and stuff with Tom Cruise and the kids, you know, after that. So then in that 3-month period, the visual effects artists were able to push out War of the Worlds, you know?
Yeah.
Because the studios, when they put in $200 million, in dollars into a movie, they want to get it out as fast as possible so they can recoup their losses.
It's like, fuck, man, we want to make a new film. We got to put this out quick. Like, hopefully it gets big.
Exactly. And that was like a miracle that got out so quickly. And so now studios are holding all the other visual effects companies to that same standards, you know, to really get like Green Lantern or X-Men First Class out in theaters. And when you see X-Men First Class, like, the CG was good, but it wasn't great. It was good enough, but it wasn't like, wow, that was so detailed and amazing. It was just kind of like run-of-the-mill, you know?
Because,
again, they're really rushing everything. They're pushing everything out. Even Matthew Vaughn, the director, said we should have really had more time to work on it, you know? And
it's ridiculous how it is now.
Yeah, that's
man.
Just kind of how it works.
Movies have like, lost their touch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
Hollywood has lost
its
touch.
I was surprised X-Men First Class was as good as it was for a big-budget superhero movie.
I was surprised. It brought back my faith in the X-Men series.
Exactly, it was a nice, fresh turn, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's nice to just reboot, you know, instead of going on. Cause like,
didn't they say they were going to reboot the whole series now? After that one? And
I can see them doing another X-Men, you know, with Professor X and, you know, Magneto starting up and everything, you know? I can can see them doing that. Because, like, once you've burned your franchise to the ground with X-Men 3, Last Stand, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you can't really, you know, improve from that. So it's best to start over.
I couldn't buy that one.
Plus, all the actors are getting old. I can't do it anymore.
It was, like, cool when they brought Hugh Jackman in. I was like, okay.
Yeah, that was a nice little cameo.
He sold his soul to the X-Men. X-Men franchise. It's like, you got to keep being in this movie no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, he's in all of the X-Men movies now, you know, including X-Men Origins Wolverine, which was a pile of shit.
I know. Yeah.
He was a producer on that, too, so I'm surprised it turned out so shitty, you know? But yeah, again, those visual effects look really rushed as well. Yeah, I think they the same thing.
Like, if you saw, did you see, like, the pre... I was watching like a pre.
Oh yeah, when it got leaked in online. Got leaked, yeah, I saw that. And I was like, watching. Oh man, these effects are shitty. Good thing this is just a work print, and they're gonna improve. And then I saw it in theaters. I'm like,
it looks the same.
Yeah, it's like, you know, because they were saying, no, don't look at that. It's not well done. And then I saw it in theaters. Like, wow, really?
It looks the same.
That was it. Yeah,
that's the same.
It did. It looked the same, basically. You know.
It's less choppy, but still the same, you know?
Yeah. Another instance of a movie having a great trailer and shitty movie, you know?
Yeah.
That movie
had
a great trailer.
I was so excited. I was like, And then the first, I like the little first sequence, like the first sequence when they were going through the war scenes and all that.
All those wars that they're fighting was amazing.
It was like fucking cool. I was like,
that scene alone tells you everything you need to know about these guys, you know?
Basically.
Yeah.
That's all they were living for.
Yeah.
That's all they lived for was killing.
Yeah. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull as well. That one had a promising trailer,
and
you know?
And then, when we found out it was aliens, you're like, fuck. Yeah. Talk about aliens. God. We've been watching this show. It's freaking crazy, man.
Ancient Aliens? Yes. That show is insane.
Shane and I have been watching it.
Fuck. It's a great show to get high to and then watch that, because it blows your mind. I mean, it's like, it stays with you forever.
It's like...
You can't shake it,
The
you know?
Theories are pretty sound, but...
Yeah. I mean, it's not just a bunch, because mostly anytime you watch an alien show, it's all a bunch of hodgepodge. You know, there's a guy who's giving an interview, but you can't see his face, and they canceled out his voice as well. You know? And he's like, I can't tell you much about that. I can't tell you much about that. Or you have guys like, yeah, I saw a saucer, and that was it. You know? 2011 is like, now you're going to crack it? Really?
Roswell.
yeah, exactly. Go to Roswell and start digging in the dirt. It's like, really? Now you're going to find something? It's like,
Look. We see it. Yeah. This is an alien button right here.
Yeah.
A button off an alien.
I know. Because if they really did make a discovery, you'd hear about it before the show aired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd hear about it. They found an alien craft. They found a body. They've got real evidence. Something like that. You'd find out about it before the show aired, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this show, is pretty crazy.
Dude.
They had, one episode where, it blew my mind about the freaking artifacts that they found that looked like ships or airplanes or whatever.
Yeah,
then they made them to a full scale and put an engine on them. Yeah,
they found these little toys, which everyone had thought for a while was just toys of birds, you know? And then, you know, scientists looked at it and they said, wait a minute, this isn't a bird because birds don't really look like this, you know? But the tail of it looked more like the tail of a plane instead of an actual bird.
And the wings were just...
Yeah, and the wings were thick at the front and then they got thinner at the back where rudders would be. And then they actually tested it in a wind tunnel and it flew. It really flew. And then another one, which was like a golden plane, and that one had the full tail rudder, stabilizer, and everything. All they did was add an engine to it and made a larger model of it. Same scale, dimensions, and all that. And the thing fucking flew.
And it was
That can't
crazy.
Happen. That was from like the 1400s. That's from ancient Egyptian times when the pyramids were being built. There's no way they could have had planes.
And
it's impossible.
It was... I was like super high and I was freaking out.
Dude, I mean, that show is equally fascinating and terrifying at the same time.
I was scared.
It freaks me the fuck out, that show.
Because they have to have seen something like that.
I know. And then they talked about this one guy who came from the sky and he told them about a star that from now, 2011, they can't see.
African tribe.
Yeah, they knew about this star, which is the closest star to our star, the sun, you know?
And they worship this.
Yeah, they worship it. And, you know, we didn't know about this star until later on, you know, like in the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there was no way they could have ever known about that because there's no telescope now that can even
see that star.
You know?
It's
from Earth, there's no way.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah,
it's mind-blowing.
I mean, it couldn't just be a coincidence because, I mean, that star is carefully placed. It's not just a random spot, you know?
And it was like, oh, yeah, this is the closest star to us. You know, it was like, whoa, what?
Yeah, it's insane. I think the one thing that also really got me was that one Egyptian pharaoh. Was it Anuraman or something?
Anuksaman
or something like that?
Tutankhamun.
No, it wasn't Tutankhamun.
No, I'm saying it was his father.
Oh, yeah. His father. That's right. Yeah, it was his father. And basically what had happened was throughout history, they had a lineage of pharaohs. And whenever they're depicted in stone, they're, you know, broad shoulders, buff looking. You know, mm-hmm. they kind of look like Superman, basically, you know, when they're, you know, portrayed. But then this pharaoh had a big stomach, skinny frame, skinny torso, big head, bulging eyes, misshapen head.
Yeah, his head like went all the way up. His skull like went up.
Yeah, and you could say, okay, maybe he was ugly or deformed, or maybe that's just the way he wanted to be portrayed. But then also their religion went away. You mm-hmm. know, it started out with they were worshiping like 8 or 5 gods, you know, and then it went away to nothing. There was no religion, no gods to worship.
Yep. But the weird thing was that it wasn't just him. His wife looked like that.
Yeah.
His kids looked like that.
The kids looked weird. The wife looked weird. And it had to be some sort of genetic trait. You know, mm-hmm. they're actually saying that maybe. Because, I mean, there's that time period where we were just apes. And then the brain doubled in size over a period of only 2 million years. And it's like, how does that happen? How does the brain just explode, basically, you know?
Interesting, man.
And they said it could have been, you know, the aliens spreading their genetic traits with us, you know? Mm-hmm. And what's really developed our brain. So now we're at the stage we are now because of, you know, ancient aliens visiting or, you know, basically visitors.
Pretty good theories, sound theories.
And actually, if you kind of think about it, you know, if you look at chimpanzees, they're all muscle, you know, basically. All muscle, broad shoulders, swinging from trees, and then, you know, big torso, smaller legs. And then mm-hmm. you look at us now, we're all kind of, you know, sitting at computers, scrawny, we're more focusing on our brains more so than the body. Because, you know, chimpanzees, they have to hunt and everything like that, and they have to fight each other. Nowadays, we're kind of away from that, where, you know, our heads are getting larger, our bodies are shrinking, you know. And, you know, that's kind of what aliens look like. They got big heads, tiny bodies, because they realize that the brain is more powerful than anything that the body mm-hmm. will do. And so, you know, that kind of goes along with that theory that the aliens are really time travelers. They're us from the future who are going back to the past, you know?
To alter something, probably.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Because even, like, Homo erectus and all that, they were still buff and everything. Freaking, you know, muscles, because they had to hunt. They had to take down mammoths and everything
still
like that.
Still a little hairy.
Yeah, and then, you know, when you've got intelligence, you learn about farming and agriculture mm-hmm. and raising cattle and things like that. Raising cattle instead of hunting for cattle.
Yeah.
You know?
Raising plants, everything.
Yeah,
everything.
Exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, that show's equally fascinating. And it's on Netflix, everybody.
Yeah, you can go watch it. Like, hour and 30 minute long episodes.
This long episodes, but they're so full of content, it's ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, like how they said the freaking pyramids, they weren't supposed, they were actually shooting energy.
Yeah, they were shooting like microwave energy up into the sky. As possibly like a recharging fuel station, you know?
It's freaking crazy.
It's like, that kind of makes sense, because if you look at it, especially remember when they're talking about building it, because they've got those diagonal air shafts in there, you know? Mm-hmm. And considering they built it from the ground up, you have to carefully calculate how you cut those stones so you're able to make that diagonal shaft come out.
And you got to remember, these freaking bricks were like 12,000 tons.
They're, you know, bigger than most cars,
straight up.
And it's like, why would they decide to move bricks that big, you know?
And make that. Why would you do that?
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
It's all really a mystery, because if you were building something, you'd build it with smaller bricks that you can carry,
mm-hmm.
you know? Exactly, that's how it could work. And yeah, so it's on Netflix, everybody. You can watch it for basically free, you know.
Yeah. Just do it.
Yeah. And so you watch one episode and you'll be like kind of hooked, you know.
Yeah,
normally documentary series, I kind of stay away from anything about animals and the planet and all that. It's like, oh, let's learn about frogs. It's like, okay,
mm-hmm.
I've heard enough there is to know about frogs, you know. But this is one subject that doesn't really get touched on, because everyone who talks about it, it's kind of just in regular society. If you talk about aliens to anybody and you sound insane, you know? That's just kind of what
Pretty much.
If you talk to somebody about people who like aliens and stuff, you sound like an idiot, basically. So I can see why these guys aren't really getting a lot of traction with their theories,
man,
you know?
Man, they're not Christian.
Yeah.
straight up.
Yeah, exactly,
but,
yeah.
If you're a smart person, you should just
open-minded.
Just be open-minded and watch it.
Yeah, especially when there's scientific fact being thrown in your face, you know? Especially when it comes to, like, cutting stones and things like that. It's mm-hmm. like, there's stuff that's undisputable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, I realize another great deal. I know I don't really plug stuff, but on Amazon.com, you can get Terminator 2 on Blu-ray for only $5.49. And it's the new Skynet edition with, like, 3 different cuts of the film. I was like, dude, if I didn't already have Terminator 2 on Blu-ray, I'd be getting that. You know? Like, I've got the older edition on Blu-ray, which didn't have any bonus features, you know? But yeah, that's a good deal. So if you guys, you know, everyone's basically a fan of Terminator 2. I know, so if you don't have it on Blu-ray, you got no excuse. It's $5.50. That's bargain bin pricing, you know?
It's like, if you don't like Terminator, screw you.
Yeah, no, that's what I should be saying. Yeah, if you don't like Terminator 2, go fuck yourself, you know? It's like, you don't know what a good movie is, you know?
You're not
say what you will about James Cameron and Avatar, but you can't deny the goodness that is Terminator 2.
You cannot, man.
Yeah, that dude's a talented motherfucker.
Come with
you know?
Me if you want to live. Yeah. you should watch it.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you haven't, watch it. Watch it, but I know everybody that's listening to this podcast has seen that movie.
Yeah, you know.
If you haven't.
Oh, man. You know, speaking of kind of a movie that wasn't as great as Terminator 2, I saw Cowboys and Aliens, the one with Daniel Craig and Harrison Ford.
I've been wanting to see that, but...
It was really, like, long and stretched out. Like, they could have trimmed quite a bit of it, you know, because it felt very stretched out, you know?
Too prolonged.
Yeah, it was too long. I mean, it was probably like an hour and a half to 2 hours, but it's just the pacing wasn't that good, you know? It's very slow pacing. And then also, the aliens themselves, they weren't really characters. They're more just monsters in the night that are attacking people, you know? And it would have been interesting to see from the aliens' perspective, what are they doing on Earth? Why are they hunting people and gathering them up, you know?
Yeah.
And they say basically, like, they're capturing people because they want to study them so they can wipe them out on the planet or something. And also, they're mining for gold, which is,
Why would an alien be mining?
I don't know. But actually, in Ancient Aliens, on the third episode you haven't seen, they actually said gold is actually very valuable because it's a good transistor for electricity. It's a good conductor. It's unbreakable. Yeah. You can mold it into a lot of shapes. So maybe that's it. But they didn't really go into explaining why the aliens need gold. Because they're basically just monsters in the night, you know? So it's like just attack, kill them all, basically, is basically the whole story of that. And it's like, it was really, like, boring. So I wouldn't recommend it. I mean, you know, if you got kids, maybe they'll like it. But, it wasn't that great.
I was going to wait till, like, it came out on Netflix. Yeah. It's probably going to be, that came out on Netflix, and it's probably going to be there quick, like.
Yeah. I mean, it'd taken a long time to get that movie to screens, and it felt like 8 different scripts in one, you know?
Yeah.
It felt very muddled, and it's like, okay. Yeah, maybe
they
we
just
should.
Made it.
Yeah,
and
but
when Daniel Craig did, they're like, "Oh, I need to be acting again. Need work."
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, Daniel Craig's doing okay, and I can see the draw. Hey, do you want to be in a Western with Harrison Ford?
You'd have to be stupid not to.
It'd be like asking George Clooney, "Why'd you do Batman?" He's like, "Cause they offered me Batman." That's like, that's why I did Batman. You know,
like, shoot, you telling me you wouldn't do Batman if you didn't get offered Batman?
Like, you're lying. If someone offered you the lead to a big budget Batman, yes, you'd do it. You know.
Are you dumb? Yeah. Like a dumbass.
Yeah.
Man, if they asked me to be Batman, I'd cry. I'm telling you, I love Batman. I love Batman.
Yeah. It'd be kind of cool if they went, like, if they went with a black Batman. I think that would be hard as shit, you know? Because we already got, like, the Black Panther, who's a badass as it is, you know? And, dude,
it'd be the real Dark Knight.
Yeah.
the real Dark Knight.
He would very, very much blend into the night. Yeah. Like, you wouldn't see any of his white skin showing. Yeah. He'd really blend in.
I've been watching that Luther.
Luther, he's a detective. Luther. And he's hard
freaking
as
cool as fuck when you hear that dude speaking his English accent.
That guy, oh my God, certified badass is that guy.
He is. He is so hard.
And a terrific actor.
When he looks at you, he's a brooding look. God. You know, it's like fucking terrifying.
Yeah,
it's like a big black man. He shut me up with
a look, that's for sure. Yeah. All I had to do is look at me. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Hellbutt.
I'm black and I'm scared of him. Yeah. Okay. He even has an English accent.
Yeah.
He still scares me.
Yeah. Remember he was in that movie Obsessed? Did you see Obsessed with Beyonce and Ali Larder?
I was like, man, that movie right there was trying to like tell black dudes. Do not fuck with white women.
White women are the devil. Stay away from the crazy white women, basically.
They
you know?
Crazy. That bitch will fucking try to kill you.
Oh, man. That cat fight at the end with Beyonce and Ali Larder, that was
awesome. I loved it.
Dude, I love it when she's on the phone and Beyonce's like, she's in the house. He's like, oh my God, stay there. Get out of the house. I'm calling the police. He's like, no, I got this. And just hangs up. He's like, wait a minute, what are you doing?
Hey, baby.
Yeah, you're going to go hand to hand with this crazy bitch? Are you insane?
It's like,
you
know? I'm black.
Yeah. And was it Beyonce was fighting in heels? Mm-hmm. He was in boot heels,
that's
you know?
Ridiculous.
Damn.
She's a powerful woman.
If she had kicked Ali Larder in the throat with her heel, that would be it. She'd be done for. High kick to the throat. Oh, she's out. Or when Ali Larder's down on the ground, you stab her in the throat with your heel.
She probably would have been done dirty for. Shit.
Yeah, but instead, what's it? They got into a bar where she was hanging from that chandelier and the chandelier fell on her.
Yeah.
You know what the original working title of that was? Oh, no, she didn't.
Yeah. did it.
Yeah. I'm serious. That was the working title.
Oh, of my says. God. Oh, my God. Thank God. They should have changed. If they would have put, oh, no, she didn't, that would have seemed like a Tyler Perry movie.
I would have seen that in theaters if it was called, oh, no, she didn't. I wouldn't have waited for the DVD like I did.
Whoa, who directed this? Who wrote this? Did Tyler Perry write this shit?
Yeah.
Oh, no, she didn't. Yeah. A new comedy by.
Oh, no, she did.
New comedy by Tyler Perry.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That is ridiculous. Oh, no, she. They should have went with that.
Yeah.
They probably got so many people going to the boss office. Oh, no, she didn't.
Yeah, because that's a movie that just kind of knows what it is. Because, like, you know, they make a lot of B movies and try to make it seem like it's an A movie, you know? Yeah. It's like, if they just embrace their B movie status, you know, then no one would be disappointed and everyone would go see it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jeez. Actually, speaking of black people, have you ever had KFC in England?
No.
Oh, God. It's fucking horrible.
I've never been to England.
Oh, dude.
I gotta go.
You think, because, you know, it's a franchise and all that, and, you know, you have KFC here, you have KFC in Colorado or Alabama. It's all the same,
yeah,
basically,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
That's the beauty of franchises, you know?
Yeah.
But KFC in England is awful. Like, they really don't know how to do
Who
it.
Who works there? Are there black people
English
that work
people.
There? Black
no.
English people?
There's not enough black people in England to tell them how to do it well, yeah. You know?
I wonder if black people in England like fried chicken. Oh, fuck that. I don't like black.
Nah, they're all tea and biscuits and shit.
Hey, man.
Yeah. But oh my God, it's terrible. Like, I had popcorn chicken over there, and you know how popcorn chicken over here, they're all like, oh no, it's not nuggets. We don't do that. We don't do nuggets like the other guys. You know,
yeah.
It's freshly breaded chicken and blah, blah, blah. That one over there, it actually is nuggets.
What?
It's like tater tot sized like, chicken nuggets, you know?
Like them Tyson chicken nuggets you can get for like $3.99.
Fuck that Tyson shit. That shit sucks. God damn. God. You ever have shitty chicken, you know, like the dollar frozen
Hell
chicken,
yeah.
You find that? And it's like fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
You know,
dude,
it is the worst.
I cook my own.
It's
chicken
a deal,
now.
But it's like you ever have the frozen. God, it's like the frozen breaded chicken that's a
oh,
dollar.
Yeah.
Don't eat that. There's no way it could be good if it only costs a dollar. You
know?
I know.
I had to like freaking get barbecue sauce. I had to miss barbecue sauce. I'm like, please.
Oh yeah.
I can hopefully
you fucking drench that in the barbecue sauce.
Hopefully it tastes. Hopefully it tastes better. Hopefully
it's not
it
staying
better.
Well, and just it's on its own credentials as it is. You know. Yeah. You got to put some additives into that. Yeah.
I hate that shit.
Yeah.
I hate it. It's like a sorry excuse of chicken. Like,
oh yeah.
Sorry excuse of chicken.
It is, basically. Like, you've seen that documentary Food Inc., right?
No.
You haven't seen that?
No.
Oh, man. They go into all of how chicken is made and how it's processed. And it's, if you saw that documentary, it's disgusting. It's basically disgusting how Tyson and all those
it's
big
disgusting.
Manufacturers make their meat. It's disgusting. It really is. Like, it's fucking, it's basically a sweatshop for chicken making, you know?
Oh, my God.
It is gross.
Oh
like,
God.
Fuck. It is disgusting. Like, what's it? What were they going into? They were talking about kind of, you know, it's basically factory line, basically, with the chickens, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really gross the way they make it. And also, it, even worse was when they showed what the floor of that place looks like. Ugh. It's chicken gizzards and blood and feathers and fat, you know, juices all over the floor. And it's
dude,
fucking
I'll pass
gross.
Out.
Oh, man.
If I see it, like, how it actually was made,
oh, yeah.
That's why I really don't care. I don't really buy that shit anyway.
Yeah.
So I was like,
yeah,
don't
yeah.
even worry about
And the
it.
Way they raise the chickens is horrible
because
they have these chicken houses which don't have any windows.
And
so
just
most these,
chickens everywhere and shit.
Yeah, chicken and shit everywhere. And it's just, you know, just layered on top of them. And they most of them don't never see the day of light. You know, they never see
that's
sun.
That's torture. That's inhumane,
yeah.
man.
It is, yeah. And also they pump them full of hormones. So they plump up in the chest area.
Yeah.
But so much so that they're so heavy they can't walk. They're basically, they can't fly. They can
Poor
barely
chickens.
Walk. Their legs are crushed underneath them. And yeah. It's pretty awful.
Poor chicken.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know, but I mean that's just the way they make it. And then they just and the most evil thing I've heard of is they have a lot of illegals working in their factories because you know it's like you know
yeah.
they get them for cheap and all
Straight
that and
up.
They bring them over and everything. And what happens is it's well known in the whole town that they have the big chicken plant because a lot of these towns they're like their whole economy is based around the chicken factory, you know. And you know they hire all these illegals and of course the immigration department is after them. So instead of immigration going after Tyson the corporation, they realize that Tyson is putting so much money into the state. Like if they got rid of Tyson, the whole state would go under.
Mm-hmm.
So what Tyson does is they basically sell out their employees. They say, hey, Herman Rodriguez, he's an illegal. You can find him at this address. And then the cops go bust about
Fucking
two or three illegals a night.
Douchebags, man.
Yeah.
Protest. against Tyson.
They're horrible, horrible people. Ridiculous. Yeah, they bust their own employees who are usually doing a good job, you know, at whatever it is, you know.
Wow.
Whether it's cutting off chicken legs or whatever, you know. Chicken feet, yeah. that's a guy's job, cutting off chicken feet every day.
That is horrible.
Yeah.
That is horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel for the guys.
Yeah.
Man.
I've always been kind of interested. Like, I wonder what it'd be like to actually work in a slaughterhouse, because it would just make you appreciate any other job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you ever complain about your job working at Papa John's, or I'm complaining about my job when I worked at Best Buy, is like, you work at a slaughterhouse, you'd be like, any job is a good job. I'll work in a sewer, you know? At least I can get away from the horrible smell of dead chickens every day,
dude,
you know?
Chickens and chicken dude. Shit, you know? Yeah,
yeah. Basically... and that place has got to have some bad mojo about it, too, you know? Because it's got ghosts of dead chicken haunting that place, you know? It's like, you got to feel at least somewhat creepy being in a chicken processing plant.
You start working
there,
you just hear...
yeah. I know, it's like, you go home and all you hear are chicken clucks, you know? Is it the phantom cluck, you know?
What?
Yeah, it's kind of like I hear my phone ringing when it's not ringing, because it rings all the time. Yeah, it's like, did it ring? You know, it's like, yeah, that's what
that's
you hear.
That's basically how I feel like working at Papa John's. I mean, I hear telephone rings for no good reason.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, you hear the phantom rings everywhere you go.
Hello, thank you for calling Papa John's. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. False alarm, guys, it's nobody again. Yeah. Have you ever seeked revenge against a customer with your pizza making?
No, I wouldn't do that.
You
I'm
haven't.
That,
you haven't. You haven't desecrated their pizzas.
No, I'm not that mean.
No.
No, my dude. Boss is like on my ass 24/7. Yeah. He's been like every. He like I cannot like the people that works with him cannot read. Like seriously, like
what?
He has like we can't read or we can't count or we can't do nothing.
Wait,
he
so the people literally
like,
can't
so
read
bad.
Or they can't
no,
read well?
No, no, he thinks that. That's what he. Thinks.
Oh, he believes that.
Yeah,
no
he
one
believes
can read?
That nobody, everybody's incompetent at their job working at a pizza place. It is rocket science to make a pizza. You know what I'm saying? I'm over here making a pizza. Like, I'm probably one of his top employees. Yeah. You know, I don't want to brag, but it's because I really don't. I really don't like bragging about working at a pizza place.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like,
I am make hot shit at the you know, at pizzas, but I don't want to brag.
I'm hot shit at topping pizzas. You know?
Yeah.
And then like, I'm making a pizza and I'm getting it ready. And he was like, "Larry, that's well done, right?" I'm like. Yeah, it's well done. I see that on the screen. You don't have to tell me that. I was about to go get a screen.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Then he's like, "Larry, before I even start making a pizza, you see there's no onions on that pizza, right?" No. I didn't just take that order, and I didn't just start making the pizza after I took the order, so I really don't know. It's not fresh in my mind. I don't know.
You're giving me minimum wage, so you're getting minimum work for your money, you know?
It's
like,
what,
I'm
this
not
is what you're paying
more.
For.
Yeah, I'm doing the bare minimum because that's what you're paying me, you know?
No, and I make the bare minimum.
God, those fucking, like, the meetings where everyone, you know, they're trying to pump everybody up. It's like, come on, guys, we're going to have the best sales ever today. We're going to get the most credit card applications and all this shit.
Dude, I remember.
It's like, fuck yourself. You're insane if you think that's what's going to happen,
dude.
You know?
It was so fucking funny whenever I was like an assistant manager. I'm not anymore. Whoop whoop.
Yeah.
Whoop whoop. But when I was assistant manager, he was like, "Larry, I'm gonna send you to a meeting. We're gonna go. Me and you are gonna go to a meeting to discuss the ways of making pizzas.
Yeah.
Everybody's gonna be there. All of our the headquarters, the people from the main office, going to be there. So
we're representing.
we're representing our store, our franchise store, when we go there. So I really want you to go."
Thank
and
you,
I was
boss.
Like,
I feel so honored.
I know. I was like, okay. So we get there, and everybody's like, everybody is so serious. They got like a freaking. They have a little table in front, and all the other assistant managers in the back, and I'm just part of this group of people just looking at all these people that work there. Like, okay, for us to really be successful, we have been horrible this quarter. We have been making the shittiest pieces. People are like complaining at the main offices in Louisville, Kentucky. We need to do this, guys. So we're having this meeting right now to teach you guys how to make the perfect pizza. And I'm like, I really don't give a fuck about making the perfect pizza.
I mean, there's not really so many ways you can make a pizza unless the ingredients are gonna change, you know?
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Unless you're gonna change up the quality of the ingredients, it ain't going anywhere, you know?
The pizza's gonna taste the same regardless of how it looks.
It's either it's burnt or it's done right.
Yeah.
It's either undercooked, burnt, or done right. That's basically it. I mean, you can't cook a pizza any differently. It goes in the oven and comes out of the oven.
Dude, they were dogging people's pizzas. They were like, "No, you see this? Not enough toppings. Not enough toppings here." And then at the end of the whole thing, they made every assistant manager in there take a test.
A test on pieces.
Wow. A freaking 30 question test. 30 question test. I was like, for real? Thank God I've taken this test already.
Yeah.
My boss was like, oh, you don't have to take it. You already took it. You passed it. And I was like, fuck this shit, man.
God, I remember in Best Buy, like, I think it was like every Sunday, we'd have a morning meeting, 7:30. We got to be there for 2 hours, and they tell us how to sell TVs better. It's like, fucking, we know how to sell TVs. We've been doing it. And also, there's not much point to this meeting other than sell more shit. that's what every single meeting is, sell more shit.
It's like that talk in and talk out of the position thing. Oh, that TITO thing. That's what everybody, if you work in retail or anything, it's always like that. When I worked at freaking Abercrombie & Fitch, it was like that. Guys, you need to go out there and sell some clothes.
Yeah.
What the fuck? I don't give a fuck. These clothes are expensive as shit, man. I wouldn't buy it. Only reason I'm buying is because I have to buy it because you're making me buy it. If I didn't have to buy it, I wouldn't buy it.
The only time it was somewhat educational was when they'd bring in a third party, like the guy from Pioneer, to tell us all about the new line of TVs.
Yeah, that's...
And it's like, okay, yeah, that makes sense and all that. But when you're telling us, you know, every week, all right, you guys gotta sell more, and also the thing I hated most was trying to convince people to sign up for the Best Buy credit card.
Yeah,
you know, because you have to, hey, sign up for his credit card. I know you're only buying a DVD, but you know you're gonna need that financing, you know, sometime. It's like, fuck no,
sometime
you don't fucking need the Best Buy credit card unless you're actually buying something. You know,
like everybody has that, but, though. Everybody is like, why? Nobody really wants.
Well, apparently, because the Best Buy credit card gave the store like about $100 worth of profit. You know, with just one credit card. So the Best Buy credit card is a way to make profit for the store, but still, you know, it's like I never feel good about that unless I'm during the process of the sale.
Yeah.
If I'm coming up to people cold and telling them to sign up for a credit card, it's like,
that's not gonna work.
Yeah.
I remember working at Abercrombie & Fitch, and they were making people making you try to give somebody Abercrombie & Fitch credit card. It's like, what the fuck? Somebody want an Abercrombie &
Fitch?
What
would you need an Abercrombie & Fitch credit card for?
I
don't
know. I was like, oh yeah,
do you need financing on pants?
I know you want to buy, dude. You know how much the pants cost?
Yeah,
$90-something.
Yeah. Oh man, better take another home loan to buy like Abercrombie & Fitch pants.
$90-something for some pants, and everybody was like, yeah, why not get one? It's like,
You know, actually, funny thing is, like, when I was watching Cowboys and Aliens, I was at that theater, and it was like a shitty bargain theater, you know.
Yeah.
And when I came out, there was nobody in the lobby, nobody there. It was perfectly abandoned. So I just like went behind the counter and grabbed like a handful of like Nestle Flips and just like trotted out, you know. Yeah.
Nestle Flips.
Yeah.
I remember those when those came out. I was like, whoa.
Dude, they're the best snack ever. They are. I'm surprised they aren't as big a seller as they are now. It's the best of everything.
They used to be like the shit back in the day, man. They used to be the shit.
I got like stoned the day after and I just ate the whole bag. It's like a big bag of flips, too. It's like I just like kept eating them because they're so damn good, you know.
They probably charge like what, $6 for that whole bag?
Probably, yeah.
It's $6.
Yeah, getting that for free basically kind of paid for the actual movie ticket itself. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's gotta suck. Oh man. Ooh. It's always like that when you go to like them cheap theaters.
Yeah.
Like the dollar theater up in La Mirada looks like it smells like freaking mothballs and shit. You know?
Oh yeah.
Have you ever went there? It smells like crap.
What place?
The Dollar Theater in like La Mirada and Rosecrans.
No, I haven't been to that one. The shittier the area you're in, the shittier the theater is. Yeah.
Yeah,
you
dude.
Got people there who don't
it smelled
fuck.
Like shit and mothballs. I went up in there, almost threw up. I was like, fuck this.
Yeah. I know, when I was watching Cowboys and Aliens, it was on projection, you know, because they use all the old reels
because
they use the old reels that the other theaters have given them, you know, the ones that have been running on the first run. They get kind of shitty after a while.
Yeah.
So this one had this, like, this thing on the side of it that was stuck in the projector. It looked like a hair, you know. It was basically just going, you know, waving back and forth throughout the entire film. I'm like, ugh, I could complain.
I used to work with one of those.
Oh, yeah?
I used to work with one of those.
Were you a projectionist?
Yeah, I used to work when I. It was weird because it was like a little home, a single screen.
Yeah.
And like the old projector. Now they got a digital projector.
Yeah.
But it was an old projector, so they had to freaking put the film in and all that crap.
That seems like a hassle.
Rewind it and everything. It was too much, but it was basically the best job I ever had. I got to get stoned, put movies together, watch the movies late at night because we had a key. So I was just like, when Kung Fu Panda came out, I was like, fuck yeah, I'm getting high as shit and I'm watching that.
Yeah.
And that was like, that was like the coolest job ever, but never have.
It's movie the best. Okay, yeah, it seemed like the best job ever because you just watch movies for free. You can just eat all the popcorn you want.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I bet you will get tired of all the popcorn smelling like popcorn all day.
I
you
got
know?
Tired of popcorn. But, I was ready to like, break the popcorn machine, dude.
I think next time we go there, we can probably just light up in the theater. You know,
probably.
Nobody would say anything. Yeah,
probably.
Sure, have a movie theater where the guy's got a cigar. He's just laughing. I was smoking this thick ass cigar. That'll be us, you know. Back in here, just smoking it up. Yeah. But, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because I told them, they had a staff of two people, you know.
Man, that's like
they
freaking
ain't gonna
that's
do shit.
That's basically how it was when I worked at the movie theater.
Yeah.
Just me and a friend, and we just get there, we play ping pong, play pool, everything. We knew how to play everything for free.
Yeah.
Hooked up the Rock Band to the the projector.
Oh, nice.
It was freaking cool.
That'd be shit
man.
To do. You get the Xbox, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking playing like
so
Halo
cool,
or something
dude.
On that screen. That would be amazing to do.
It was so cool, man.
Oh, yeah.
So cool. I love that job. And then, it was like, it was crazy how I got hired because I was just there and, just doing random stuff around, like, the boss and stuff, like, helping out. And then he was like, do you have a job?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no. Do you want one? I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, were you hired? And I was like, awesome. I didn't even have to do anything. I didn't have to, like, fill out an application or nothing. Just hire me on the spot.
I went to a Del Taco once, and they were hiring, and they had applications. And basically, it was the size of a postcard. And all they're asking what your availability was.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, they don't even do an interview.
I filled out one like that with Taco Bell.
Yeah. it's like, we're not looking for the best of the best. We're looking for someone who can make a taco for 8 hours a day. You know?
I was like, yes, I might get a job. That's I was like, fuck.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's a good place to end for now. So this has been another great episode. I think we learned a lot, nothing really. Yeah. So once again, I'm Shane Pithwa.
And I'm Larry Wiggins.
And then you can find me on Twitter at Shane Pithwa, one word.
And me at Larry _ Wiggins.
Yeah. And, oh, yeah, my last name, you can spell Pithwa, if any of you are wondering. And you can also Twitter us at Comic Sound if you want to give us any of your thoughts on the show. We're at Comic Sound. Also, you can email us at comicsound@yahoo.com. And we'll have a new website coming out soon. And we'll let you know probably near the end of the month or next month or so.
Yeah.
And by that time, we should have Talking at the Movies out soon as well.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
We've got the DVD commentaries.
Everything is like coming
it's all coming
together.
To
like,
your stand-up career is going. My podcasting career is going.
Everything just seems... Yeah. This entertainment venture is going. It's basically going. We're doing it now.
Yeah, I can't wait to do Punisher Warzone.
Oh, my God.
That movie is
insane. I cannot wait.
All right. Well, once again, I'm Shane Pithwa.
And I'm Larry Wiggins.
And this has been a Comic Sound production, 2011. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you, guys.